Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. The East Abbotville Church of Christ will be assembling this morning at 9:30, this evening at 5, and Wednesday evening at 7. We urge you to come, bring all of your Bibles, and visit with us. If you're completely incapable to attend, log on to eastabbotville.org, and there you can see and hear the services. This evening at 8 on WBSA, Pat Donahue will conduct a 30-minute live call-in program. Keep all these things in mind, both today and on Wednesday. You know, faithful is a word that we toss around a lot, but do we really know and appreciate what it means? The Merriam-Webster's Dictionary defines faithful in a number of ways, and it is one who is steadfast in affections or allegiance. In other words, if we were to substitute the word faithful for another word, the word loyal would be a good word. It's one who is firm in keeping to promises or in observance of their duty. We might say conscientious. And it's something that's true to the facts. It's a standard or to an original. You know, we sometimes use that word faithful reproduction. But the Bible uses the word faithful in many different places and in many different ways. For instance, in the King James Version, the word is found at least 82 times. In some places, people are called faithful. Moses, Hananiah, Onesimus, Tychicus, and a number of others. In other places, God is called faithful. And in some places in the Bible, the term faithful is used as a collective noun to refer to all of God's children. The Bible talks about faithful sayings and faithful words. So it is a word that's certainly used a lot in the Scriptures. And evidently, it's important to be faithful. So what I'd like for us to do is, in our study today, to understand and define this word faithful, and hopefully we all can become a little more faithful in our lives. But the faithful person, as far as God is concerned, is the forgiven person. Not a soul that you who are listening to me at this moment, with the possible exception of maybe small children, can stand faithful in the sight of God without obtaining forgiveness first. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. So that sums up the state of affairs that exists between us and God before we obtain forgiveness. We are separated from God because of our sins. In John 1 and verse 29, it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So Jesus is the Lamb of God to take away our sins and to restore us to righteousness before the face of God. Redemption and forgiveness, it comes through the blood of Christ. And that contact occurs in baptism. In Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." See, this is the first step in becoming faithful to God. It's also the first part of our definition of who is faithful. The faithful person, then, is the forgiven person. But also, a faithful person is the able person. You know, our English word able comes from a Latin word that means habit. Able means having sufficient power or skill to accomplish a task that's been given. So a faithful person has sufficient power to accomplish those things which he's been commanded by God, by using the gifts and the blessings that God has given him. Christians shouldn't do what they're able to do only occasionally, but it must become a habit, a settled tendency, or a usual manner of behavior. It's in Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14, that we read the parable that Jesus gave of the talents. And will we do what we are able to do with what God has given us? Or, because we don't have everything that we would like to have, will we refuse to use what we do have? See, the faithful in this parable were the ones who did what they were able to do with what their master gave them. So will we do that? Will we make a habit in our life of using our God-given gifts for the Lord's cause? You know, if we refuse, then we will not be faithful servants, but instead we will be that unprofitable servant that Jesus talks about in this parable. So the faithful person, in God's eyes, is the able person. But also he is the immovable person. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read in verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So to be faithful to God means to be resolute in his commands. It was Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 that stated that there were some Christians that were like children. They were tossed about by every wind of doctrine that blowed among them. You know, there comes a time when every Christian must be fully convinced of the things of God. When we are new converts, we may be tossed some by smooth-talking teachers and doctrines that appeal to our emotions. However, every Christian, if they are to be judged faithful, must outgrow that period of childhood. When does it happen? Well, it depends on the effort that we put forth in becoming immovable in the sight of God. Are we easily persuaded away from the truth? Are we easily convinced to do things that are contrary to God's word? You know, if we aren't convinced what's right or wrong, how then are we going to be immovable? So the faithful person before God is the immovable person. But also, he's the thankful person. When was the last time that you just sat down and thanked God for all that he's given you? Certainly the Bible indicates that we should. In Psalm 69, verse 30, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." The psalmist wrote that we magnify God, and that's a form of praise when we express our thanksgiving. In Matthew 15 and verse 36, he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Here in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus demonstrated the importance of being thankful by his very example. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So will you and I at this very moment resolve to be more thankful to God? The Bible teaches this precept from cover to cover. So surely we can see that the faithful person before God is a thankful person. But also, he's a hungry person. I'm not referring to physical hunger, but I am referring to spiritual hunger. In Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Why is it that so many professing to be Christians today are not hungry for the things of the Lord and the things of His Word. You know, could this be why so many are slack in attendance at worship? Are they just not hungry for God as they should be? Is this why we often try to get by doing just what is the minimum, the least, that's required of us, and no more? You know, if we satisfy our hunger and quench our thirst for righteousness with worldly things, then soon our hunger and thirst will be for worldly things, and that alone. And this world will be where we will lay up our treasure. But all of this is the opposite of what we ought to be doing. If we hunger and thirst for righteousness, and we start filling up on God, on His Word, then God will soon be the treasure of our hearts. Where is our treasure? What are the things that we are hungry for? You know, our attending any of the assembly of the church is one of the most outward, if not only, the most visible demonstration that shows our hunger and thirst for righteousness. Surely we can all see the importance of being hungry for God. Are you hungry for God's Word? The faithful person before God then is the hungry person. But then also there is the forgiving person. You know, we mentioned at the beginning of our study about how that the faithful person before God is the forgiven person. But once we are forgiven, then we must be forgiven too. Knowing what wonderful lengths that God has gone to forgive us of our sins. Think about that just for a moment. God created us. We are His creation. And yet, we're the only thing of all of the things that God created that denies its maker. We sin, and we sin when we transgress God's Word, God's law. Sin, according to Isaiah 59, separates us from God. We become spiritually dead when we sin. We're separated from God. James talks about physical death in James 2 when he says that the body without the spirit is dead. And we're all familiar with the dead body. We've had relatives, friends, neighbors, that we've attended their funerals and we passed by the casket and saw the body. That body is dead. Why? Because there has been a separation that took place. The spirit, the soul, is no longer in that body. The body returns back to the dust. The spirit returns back to God. And that's what death is. It's separation. So there's a physical separation that we all see and are familiar with, but then there's a spiritual separation, and that involves us and God, and it happens when we sin. Sin separates us from God. But sin is something that we choose to do. No, we don't inherit the sin of Adam. We don't inherit the sins of our parents. We may have to suffer the consequences, and we all today are suffering the consequences of Adam's sin, but not the guilt of sin. It's the soul that sins that shall die. So we're guilty of our sins. We choose to sin, whether we choose intentionally, consciousness, or not consciously. We sin, and sin separates us from God. So we've God's creatures, His creation, and we sin. God has done everything He can for us. We should not depend upon God for any more. We've done it to ourselves. But no, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus loved us enough to be willing to leave heaven. That's why the verses say that He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich. Jesus chose to leave heaven, come to this earth in human form, to subject Himself to all of the frailties of the flesh, to be tempted in all points like we are, but yet we're so thankful that He did no sin, because in doing no sin, He became the one and only perfect sacrifice that God was willing to accept, that through His blood we can have the forgiveness of sin. So, knowing what wonderful lengths that God has gone through to forgive us of our sins, how much more should we strive to forgive others? You know, it's in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. It says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." We forgive because Christ forgave. If we're not, then we are not faithful. In Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15, it talks about that if we don't forgive, that it is, if we're not forgiving people, then we will be in a heap of trouble on the judgment day. The faithful person in the sight of God is a person that forgives. Let's look there at Matthew chapter 6 and begin our reading in verse 19. Verse 9, I'm sorry. "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So, the faithful person before God is a forgiven person. But also, he is an understanding person. You know, we can understand God's Word. The one who is faithful is always striving to better understand the things that God has revealed to us in the Bible. In Psalms 47 and verse 7, "For God is the King of all of the earth, sing ye praises with understanding." See, the psalmist tells us that we are to sing praises with understanding. In Psalms 111 and in verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." So see, obedience to God's commands comes only from the understanding of God's Word. And then also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 20 it says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men." So Paul tells us it's possible to be mature in understanding. Well, how do we get understanding? In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, it is something that comes with diligence. If we're not diligent with God's Word, then we can never expect to come to an understanding as we ought to, and have understanding as we need to. It's in 2 Timothy there in chapter 2 that we read verse 15. It says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So understanding comes with diligence. And in Psalms 49, we read in verse 3, "My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding." Meditation means that we take something in, and so to speak, we sort of chew on it for a while. So we need to do that with God's Word. Not only read it, but also take it in, into us, and dwell on it for a while. If we do that, then understanding will not be far behind. Anyone who's able to be a Christian can have understanding of God's Word. However, it's not something that comes easy. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes time. And however, the rewards are worth it. We know that Paul talks about understanding that we can have from the Word of God. It used to be that God's plan for saving man from sin was a mystery. But now Paul says that mystery has been made known, and that we can understand when we read the things that have been written in the New Testament. So God's Word can be understood, contrary to all of the people that talk about, well, you know, you understand it your way, I understand it my way, nobody can understand it alike. Well, if we can understand it at all, we can understand it alike. And so the faithful person before God is the understanding person. But then also, the faithful person is the loyal person. Loyal is a legal term, in fact. It's derived from the same Latin word that we get our word legal from. So it means simply unswerving in allegiance. See, our relationship to God is to be unswerving. We must never leave Him, either in our thought or in our actions. And while our salvation is by grace through faith, as we read in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it's still important that we obey God's law. Many people use Ephesians chapter 2 to try to prove that we do not have to obey God or do anything in regards as a Christian to what God would have us to do. But there in Ephesians 2, notice what we see in verse 8. Let's read. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before Him that we should walk in them. Friends, how can we take verse 9 and say that our salvation has nothing to do with works? And then yet verse 10 says that's the very thing that we're created for. That Christ created, we're created in Christ for good works. And that God has prepared before Him that we should walk in them. What does that mean? It means that we should do them. We have to understand that the works that are being talked about here in Ephesians 2 are concerning the works of the law of Moses. No man can be justified by the keeping of the law of Moses. That's the law that Christ nailed to the cross. We don't live under the law of Moses. And if I go back under the law of Moses and try to build an ark, or if I go on back under the law of Moses and try to offer sacrifices and burn incense and all of these other things, it's not going to profit in my salvation. It's not going because I'm not doing what God tells me to do in the New Testament. So we have to understand what the works are that are being referred to when it turns right around in the very next verse and says that's what we're created for good works. And God has foreordained that we should walk in them. We need to be careful. And in understanding this, we understand as well that it's important that we obey God's laws. It's in this way that we demonstrate our loyalty, our allegiance to God. Let's look at some verses. John 14, verse 15. Remember what Jesus said? If you love me, what you say? If you love me, just say, I love you. If you love me, say, Lord, Lord. No. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In 1 John chapter 2, and verse 3, thereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that says, I know Him, and keeps not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word in him, verily the love of God is perfected. Thereby know we that we are in Him. A little later on in John, in 1 John chapter 5, notice in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God. Okay, here's our answer. What is the love of God? For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Friends, in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, the Bible tells us that it will be those that know not God and that obey not the gospel that Christ will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. They are those that are not obedient will be punished. So the one who is faithful in the sight of God is the one who is constantly loyal to Him by the keeping of His commandments. So, faithful. It's a word that we use a lot, and the Bible uses a lot. And I hope that we all have a better understanding of that word now as a result of the time that we've taken in our study today. And so the question comes to you. Are you faithful? Have you taken that first step in being faithful by becoming forgiven? And if you are a child of God, are you faithful in all of your affairs and in all of your life? You know, Jesus speaks to us now just like He spoke to the church at Smyrna in Revelation 2 and verse 10, when He says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." See, there's no better time than now to start being faithful. So the question again, have you taken that first step in becoming faithful by becoming forgiven of your sin? If we say we have no sin, we make Him a liar, because Romans 3 and verse 23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It matters not. We have sinned. We've separated ourselves from God. But we can be saved by the grace of God, because God's love in sending His Son and Christ's willingness to give up heaven and come to this earth in human form is all favor that was shown unto us that we did not deserve. That's grace. That's what grace is. It's favor for which we do not deserve. Now, how do we show our love to God? Well, we've just studied it, by keeping His commandments. We must be in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are, in Ephesians 1 and verse 4. That's where they're at. They're in Christ. And we studied just a moment ago that how we can be in Christ is when we are buried with Him in baptism. That will give us the remission, the forgiveness of our sins. And so that's what we urge you to think upon as we bring our study today to a close. We see that the time is gone. We thank you so much for listening, and we hope that you tune in again. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.